Well, good morning, y'all. And good morning to those, or afternoon or evening, those who are watching online, could be later in the day or on Zoom this morning. Welcome. Good to have you with us as our Sunday school crew leaves. Well, good lead-in this morning, my dear. We're still in our series on the continuing effects of Easter, or the resurrection, as we like to call it. So here's the question for the morning. Does anyone here struggle with temptation at all? Anybody? No, just me? Okay, well, that's good. How about that particular sin or temptation that just seems to keep tripping us up? Maybe you've been caught in the cycle like I have of temptation, sin, guilt, shame, confession, finally feel forgiven, repeat. I see some head nods. Well, if any of those apply to you today, stay tuned. I've got some good news for us. We started looking a couple of weeks at this series, the continuing effects of Easter, that Easter is not an event to celebrate every year, but it's a catalyst that set things into motion that can and should affect our lives each and every day. We looked at the new relationship that we have with God as Father when we come to Jesus in faith, receiving Him as our Savior. Lord, we get a Father, not just God Almighty up there that sometimes listens. No, this is a Father who is open. His ears are attentive. His arms are open to us. We talked about our relationship with the world. We have a different relationship with the world now. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're here to be an influence to others while we're here, trying to lead them to Jesus with or without words, right? Trying to love and to serve and to be an example to others, to hopefully influence them. All the while in our heart, knowing that someday we're going to go home out of all this craziness, right, where Jesus is, where there's no more death or pain or loss, grief, etc., 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 right? This world, we have a new relationship with it, different than we had before. And then we began to look at our relationship with sin. With sin. We started looking at how human beings were created in God's image, right? What does that mean? To reflect His nature and character. God is love, right? A nature of love and grace and mercy and righteousness, faithfulness, truth. And how sin came into the world through Adam and Eve's rebellion. And when that happened, it just corrupted everything. It corrupted their relationship with God. It corrupted their relationship with each other. It even corrupted the earth that we live in, right? But worst of all, it corrupted the actual human nature of a person, which unfortunately was passed down through every generation all the way to us and beyond. A corrupted nature with a bent towards sin, a bent towards me, my, mine, I want what I want when I want it. Right? The way we're wired, it's in there. Paul, in Romans 7, he'll talk about that struggle within each of us. He was the Pharisee trying to do everything right. And he says, but even when I try to do things right, I got these attitudes and all this kind of stuff. It's a wretched man that I am. Who will set me free? And then he focuses on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Freedom. Freedom that comes. But this bent in our nature, this corruption, separates us from God, motivating us to do things that are ultimately destructive to ourselves and to others. And the Bible testifies that there's no way for us, humanly speaking, to change that. But then Jesus comes, God in human flesh, lives a sinless life, but then gives that life in sacrifice for us, takes our sin upon him, past, present, future sin, takes it all upon him, takes the penalty for that sin upon himself so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be put back into right standing with God, reconciled to him in love. All of our sin paid for by Christ, swallowed up, we said, by God's amazing grace. Thank God for that grace. Amen. And then we began to look at Romans. Romans chapter 6, go ahead and turn there this morning. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 1 says, well then what shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, so that God's grace is shown all the more the hero because he is just bigger and better than all of our sin. He says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. To recap, we talked about what it means to be baptized into Christ. When we come to him in faith, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he cleanses us from our sin, puts his Holy Spirit within us, and together we become the body of Christ, right? Just like our spirit lives in us and we interact with the world through these physical bodies, the Spirit of Christ comes into us and he interacts with the world through us, right? Through our hands, through our feet, through our mouths, when we yield to him, of course, right? When we say, Lord, I want to do what you want to do. He interacts with the world through us, so we become the body of Christ. And we saw how being a part of him now means that his victory has become our victory, right? His victory over sin becomes ours, so that we too, verse 4, might walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. When we receive Christ, we are changed on the inside, right? Recreated at the core of our being. The old person then is no more. We've been made new. That old person is, by all intents and purposes, dead, right? We died with him. We have become recreated into something new. Ephesians 4:24 exhorts us, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. Recreated back into his image. Verse 6 of Romans 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him. That old self before Christ, right, was a self that was what? Corrupted by sin, right? That corruption to the core. But now the Spirit of God comes in and regenerates us. Regenerates us, recreates us. Why? Keep reading. In order that the body of sin, that inner corruption, might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. No longer be enslaved to sin. What's the Bible saying here? Again, if we think of that particular sin that we've struggled with over and over and over, why did it beat us time after time after time? Because there was a corruption in us that left us vulnerable. A weakness, an inherent weakness in our very nature that makes us not only susceptible to sin, but often desirous of it. And so we're taken captive. We're taken captive. But now, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you've been born again and the Spirit of God lives in you, that old self has died with Christ. And that corruption, that innate weakness, the Bible says, has been brought to nothing. The Greek means rendered powerless. Rendered powerless, so that we no longer need to be enslaved to any sin. Verse 7, for the one who has died has been set free from sin. That's a mic drop there, isn't it? That's you, believer in Jesus. The old person has died, and you are set free from sin. Now somebody's going to say, now wait a minute, Pastor On. If this is true, if we're set free from, why do we still sin? Or at least me, right? Why aren't we all perfect? Great question. Great question. I want to give you two reasons and what we can do about it. One of them we'll tackle this morning. I have to save the next one for next week. So if, according to God's word, right, this is God's word, God says that Jesus Christ, by his death and his resurrection, has rendered powerless the corruption in our nature, and set us free from the power of sin. So why do we still struggle? Number one, because we have a brain. And that brain over the years has stored information, hasn't it? Thoughts, attitudes, experiences. And all those things are in there, and what do? They tell us what we believe. And so we act on those beliefs, attitudes, and actions, right, that we have gathered and stored. And that is why Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewal of your mind. Do you see how that fits? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, we need to renew our thinking based on what is now true of us in Christ. Not what was true of the old self, but what is true of someone who is a new creation, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and to whom now apply the promises of God. That wasn't true before. We were corrupted, the old self, right? Now we are new, we have a whole new life, a whole new set of principles that govern our lives. But we don't necessarily know it. It's kind of like this. Roger Bannister, if you remember that name, in 1954 was the first man to ever run a mile in under 4 minutes. Since that time, as of 2 years ago, more than 1,700 other athletes have done it. The reason that no one ever did it before was because everyone thought it was impossible. And therefore, it was. You following me? Everyone thought that people would get close, never do it. Under 4 minutes, impossible for a human being. And so it was. So it was. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Don't go according to the mindset formed by an old dead person who didn't have the life of God in them or the promises of God for them. The reason why many of us as Christians are living far below our potential is because we never really get past, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to heaven when I die. We're not availing ourselves of what is written here that tells us who we are, whose we are, and what is ours because of what Jesus left us in his last will and testament. And the Old Testament has foreshadowings and prophecies that refer to what's coming in the New Testament. We have a New Testament, right? We're like that lady I told you about a couple of weeks ago who scrubbing the steps on her hands and knees, not knowing that months earlier she inherited an estate worth millions of dollars. Without that knowledge, she's still eking out poverty. And that can be some of us. We don't know who we are. We don't know whose we are. We don't know the promises that are set for our life. So we live with the same old limitations. I believe in Jesus, but really, I'm the same old person. Same old limitations. Can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. And we live so far below our potential in Christ. Here's another way to look at it. When we were little, some of us had a nightlight in our rooms. Maybe that was you. Why? Because we were afraid of the dark, right? Even though the truth was there was nothing there, our imagination told us a different story. Every time we heard a little, right? The house creaked a little bit, whatever. A little shadow on the wall when a car passed or whatever. Imagination told a different story, which we believed, which gave the darkness power over us, didn't it? But what happened? Over time, we began to understand things differently. We began to understand that there was nothing there in the dark that wasn't there in the light. Or nothing there, that wasn't there in the light. And when we embraced that truth, when we finally embraced that truth, what happened? The darkness no longer had power over us. No longer caused us to fear, cower in our beds. It's the same here. It's the same here. Ephesians chapter 4 says it this way. It says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart." You see the progression there. Hearts are hard to God. Don't want to let God in. Want to be my own God. So alienated from him. Alienated from his life. Alienated from the truth. Therefore ignorant of what could be. What God has for them. So they have become callous, verse 19. And have given themselves up to sensuality. The Greek word there means to act without moral restraint. They do whatever they feel like doing. There's no moral consideration. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. There it is again. Proverbs tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we think we're the same person, how are we going to act? If we think we have the same old limitations, how are we going to act? Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made possible not only the forgiveness of our sins, not only going to heaven someday when we die, but so much more. When we are forgiven, when we are cleansed, God's Spirit comes in. There is a regeneration process. We become new. We look the same in the mirror, absolutely. But we become new on the inside. That old person, dead and gone. Don't let this up here say the old person still lives. We got to get beyond those old thoughts. We got to get beyond the memories. Consider that person dead and gone. And get into this testament. Find out just who we are now. Right? You take a child out of an orphanage and put them in a well-to-do family. I was in James. And James says that we can go to this word and we can look at it like beholding our face in a mirror and then walk away and forget who we are. That's what James says. And I remember, because this was a time in my life when I would open up this word and it was like, yep, you failed there, yep, you failed there, yep, you failed there, yep, you failed there. What a great Christian you turned out to be. That's how I approached the word for a good long time, unfortunately. But then as God began to speak truth to me, he said, it's kind of like this. You're looking at who I've created you to be. Created in true righteousness and holiness. This is you on the inside. This is the new Ron that I've made. And I'm like, but why isn't it? He says, okay, it's kind of like this. And the Lord said, picture a king riding through town, you know, with the carriage and the whole, you know, I think in past terms. So he's riding the carriage and the entourage and all this kind of thing. And he's riding through town and he sees this little boy trying to get food out of a garbage can. And he stopped the carriage. Who is that little boy? He's just a street orphan. Go get him. I want to bring him into my house. He has compassion for this little boy. He wants to bring him into his house. So they bring him into the house. They get him all cleaned up, right? And they wash him, and they put new clothes on him, and they can comb his hair and all this kind of stuff, right? And he looks great, and he sits down at the table, and they're all eating, you know, and he's all more food than he knows what to do with, but he doesn't know how to use a knife and fork. All he can do is eat the roll, because that's the only thing that everybody else is eating, you know, with their hands. He doesn't know how to do the other stuff. What's the matter? I'm not hungry, right? And then he sneaks out of his room while everybody's asleep to raid the garbage cans behind the palace, because he doesn't know any better. Doesn't understand. So over the course of time, what happens? He begins to learn who he is as a prince in the kingdom. Begins to understand how this operates, how that operates. You know, even as an orphan boy, just, you know, he would go before the carriage and everybody said, all hail the prince. All right? We still got a lot to learn. And I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, that the more that I get into this book, the more that I see these New Testament authors going back to the resurrection, going back to the cross, saying, don't you understand what Jesus did for you? Go back and look at who you are now in Christ. A new relationship with God, a new relationship with this world, a new purpose in life. To influence others for the Lord. A new relationship with sin. That old corruption brought to nothing by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. But we got to know it. We got to renew our mind in the Word of God. When we understand this truth, by meditating on God's word. You know, you just don't read it once and go, oh, that sounds nice. I don't know about you, it doesn't happen with me. I got to read it. I got to meditate on it. I got to think about it. I got to pray over it. God, this doesn't sound, you know, I know it's true, but I know who I am, and it just, you know, meditate on it. Pray over it. Compare Romans 6 with Ephesians 4, other scriptures that God would bring you to. And when we understand, we begin to grasp this truth like a little kid beginning to grasp that the darkness, there's nothing there. We will begin to respond differently to temptations in our lives. Differently than we've done in the past. Or as Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's the truth? Ephesians 4, right? Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Who he is, what he did for us. That's truth. And the truth will set you free. Anybody want to be free from some of the junk in your life, in your heart? Some of the same stuff trips you up over and over? Don't we all? The Bible says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Get into the book. Ask God, show me, Lord, this truth. Show me what you've done for me. Show me who I am as a new creation in Jesus Christ. And let the truth set you free. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, here it is again, so that when all is said and done, we can't point to ourselves and say, I overcame this or that. We know better. It was Paul the Pharisee in Romans 7. I don't do what I want to do, and the things I don't want to do that I find myself keep doing. Can't do it on our own, Lord. You have done immeasurably more than we can ask or think, and can do in us and through us as your children. Help us, Lord, to assimilate this truth into our minds and our hearts so that we can walk in it and glorify you, so that we can point to Jesus and say, Lord, wow, look what you've done for me. Not only for forgiveness, not only for heaven, but for now, for this life. Help us walk in it, Lord, and bring you glory and honor, we pray. In your most awesome name. Amen.